For the last couple of weeks, we have been focused on all of the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, I'd like to take you back to the book of 1 Peter, where we had been for quite some time before that. This morning, we're in chapter 2. This morning, someone, I think, rather facetiously said, "Oh, we're in chapter 2 already." I know we've been taking our time, and I keep telling you this pace is going to pick up, and it will sometime. Let me read the beginning in verse 11 of 1 Peter 2. "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." Now, we're going to lay aside for the moment the obvious emphasis here on how we relate to civil government. And Peter is going to go on to talk specifically, verse 18, to slaves and what that how you live your life and in that context. For there were many slaves in the Roman Empire, and many of them had become believers in Jesus. Then in chapter 3, he begins to speak to wives, and then down in verse 7 of chapter 3 to husbands, and finally to everyone as he just gives some instruction about the Christian understanding of submission, what that looks like for in all of our lives. But as I say, we're going to lay that aside for today to focus just on verse 16. And verse 16, I'm reading from the New International Version, and it begins with verse 16 with this phrase, excuse me, "live as free men." And it ends with the phrase, "live as servants of God." So live as free men, and then live as servants of God. And it places those two ideas back to back. Does anybody here have a Holman Bible? Oh, you don't have it with you. Well, you can tell this is not a Southern Baptist church. You'd have all had a good Holman Bible. That begins this verse, "As God's slaves, live as free people." As God's slaves, live as free people. And it reminds us that the path to freedom comes through a surrendering of ourselves to a life of obedience and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as our Master. Now, you remember that in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in Nazareth, his hometown, and it's the Sabbath day, and he's gone to the synagogue, and because he's visiting there, he's invited to read from the scroll. And he opens the scroll to the prophet Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," the year of Jubilee. Every seventh year was a sabbatical year, and then after seven sevens, there would be a year of Jubilee, and that year all the slaves were set free. And the land was restored. It was a year of restoration. And Jesus is saying that the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, release the oppressed, and announce that the year of Jubilee has come. The year of freedom for those who have been in bondage. That bondage is broken. And then he rolled up the scroll of Isaiah, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Many, many in this congregation could give testimony today of the wonderful liberating work of God in their lives as he has set them free from things that they were in bondage to. Many of us could share such a testimony this morning. Maybe there are many here as well who are still struggling with some area of their life that they're in bondage to. And I want you to know that there's freedom in Christ. Live as free men. Live as servants of God. Sin's mastery over me is broken when I joyfully surrender myself to be a slave to Christ. Freedom comes in servitude. Now, in this matter of freedom, following this road of freedom in Christ, we tend to fall off the road and end up in one ditch or another. On the one side of the road, we end up in a ditch of legalism. We end up trying to somehow measure up to some measure of performance, and we think if we do well enough, we earn enough points and avoid enough demerits, that we'll be all right. On the other side of the road, we can fall into the ditch of kind of lawlessness. Nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I'm my own person. I'm free. That's what freedom means to many people. Now, in America, because we're Americans, we love freedom. And many people who first came to the shores of this country came looking for freedom. And we have many, many who have given their lives for this country to protect the freedoms that we enjoy. But along with that true freedom, there's an American mythology of freedom. We have in our culture this myth of sort of the rambling man, you know, no commitments, no boss, no rules. We're just going to live life how we want to live life, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. And in pop culture in another era, the rambling man was the guy who's getting back on his horse, pulling his cowboy hat down low. He's got a cigarette dangling out of the corner of his mouth. The woman he's leaving behind is weeping, but nobody's going to tie me down. And he's riding off into the sunset. You know, Frank Sinatra sang about how I did it my way. And then Janis Joplin came along and sang about freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And then, meanwhile, Jimmy Buffett was down wasting away in Margaritaville doing his own thing somewhere. And we have this, every generation has these cultural expressions of this freedom myth where I'm free to do whatever I want to do. Nobody's going to impose their rules on me. Nobody's going to tell me how I have to live my life. I don't have to make any commitments. I'm my own boss. And there's that whole mythology of freedom. Only we discover that it doesn't work that way. If you're still there in 1 Peter, look at just a couple pages ahead in your Bible to 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Well, let me, verse 18. There were people who'd come into the church that were preaching a false gospel, and Peter's warning about them and says in 2 Peter 2, 18, "For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error, and they promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. And something will always master us. And the scripture is saying the path to freedom is when you are mastered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're living for him, who could have a better master than that? Here's a master who loves you more than anybody else in all the world loves you. Here's a master who's not a slave driver, but he's a good shepherd who says, come to me, you who are weary and exhausted, and I'll give you rest. And he's that kind of a master. And the greatest joy in life is serving him, because he knows, he made us. He knows the things that will bring fulfillment and delight, and there's great joy in belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be mastered. We will serve something. Look in Romans 6. If you have your Bible, it would really be helpful if you turned here for a minute with me to Romans chapter 6. Remember back in the verse we're looking at in 1 Peter, live as free men, live as servants of God. The full verse says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Now, there were those who were accusing Paul of preaching this gospel of God's grace, and they said, well, that gives us an excuse for evil. That's inviting people to sin. And so Paul responds to that in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so the grace may increase? And his response is an emphatic, by no means. For we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And then he goes on to talk about the symbolism of baptism, of being buried with Christ in baptism, being raised to newness of life, and now walking in that life. When you come over to verse 15, he asks the same question again. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. And then he says this. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, we're a little bit caught off guard by that language in verse 16 of offering yourself to someone to obey him as slaves. You say, well, slaves don't offer themselves to... Well, actually, in the Roman Empire, they did. You're probably aware that most of the time we read the word servant in an English translation of the scripture, the more literal Greek word would be slave. And the reason that most translators don't use that word, slave, when it appears in the original text, is because slavery in the Roman Empire was so different than what we think of when we use the word slavery. Slavery, even to this day, is the great wound on the soul of our nation. We are a nation that was founded believing that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and yet we did not live up to our own ideals when we allowed slavery to continue in this country. Now, in the Roman Empire, there were many slaves. If you were walking down the streets of the city of Rome, as many as one out of five, every five people you passed was probably a slave. You wouldn't know that by looking at them. And one of the great differences is in the Roman Empire, there is no racial component to slavery as there is in our history. That's one of the reasons why it is so different and why often translators avoid using that word, because that would be a misunderstanding of what's being spoken of here. There's no racial component to the slavery, but nonetheless, slavery was very much a part of the economy. We'll talk more about that when he gets down in 2 Peter to the next section where there are many slaves who become believers in Christ. They're now Christ followers, and Peter's going to direct some specific instruction to them just a little later in this book. But when it says about offering themselves as slaves, it was possible in almost every circumstance. Again, this is another one of the great differences for Roman slaves to buy their freedom. Whereas the freedom in our history was, or the slavery in our history was very different from that. And it was possible and not all that unusual for people to voluntarily enter into slavery, and they would do that only if they were so financially destitute that they had no ability to, they were without a home, they were without ability to feed themselves, and so the way out of that, there was no social network other than, or social kind of safety net, other than offering to be enter into slavery. And the advantage was that then you had a place to live, you were provided with meals, but of course what you gave up was your freedom, which is exactly the point that Paul is making here, that what, you can't offer yourselves as a slave and then act as if you're still free to do whatever you want to do. Now, when you come to verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, Paul says, but thanks be to God that though you, he's speaking to the believers, you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So look again in verse 17. He says, this is what you used to be. Verse 17, you used to be slaves to sin. That's what you were. Here's what you did. You wholeheartedly obeyed the gospel, the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And here's what happened to you. You have been set free from sin. And here's what you have become. You've become slaves to righteousness. So Paul's using that imagery, and then in the next verses, he parallels the idea of being a slave to sin and the idea of being a slave to righteousness. Verse 19, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. You used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So in their slavery to sin, they were weak in themselves, and so they would find themselves offering their body and as for impurity, to sin. And they were enslaved by it. In fact, if you look ahead to chapter 7, that's that area toward the end of that chapter where he's saying, verse 17, about his struggle with sin. As it is, I no longer myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want it to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that's doing it. I'm a slave. It has control over me. It has a grip on me. So Paul says in verse 17, you wholeheartedly, chapter 6, 17, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Excuse me, verse 19. Because you were weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. It's not... Wickedness, sinfulness is not benign. It doesn't just stay where it is. It's a cancerous thing. It grows. Ever increasing wickedness. Now, then he says, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, which leads to holiness. So now, instead of what you used to do, offer your body in slavery to righteousness, which leads somewhere as well. It leads to holiness. And when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God is doing this amazing work of setting the captive free. When you're back in the book of 1 Peter again, chapter 2, as we were looking at that passage, here's why we can't do this on our own. In 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. They war against your soul. They're It's not just that you can say to yourself, okay, I don't want to be in bondage to anybody. I want to be my own person. No rules, no commitments, no boss. I'm just going to be my own boss. I'm going to do what I want to do. The problem is what Peter speaks of in verse 11. There is sin within us, which is waging war against our soul. The problem is not out there somewhere. The problem is that there is something within me that is enslaving me, my own flesh. And the Word of God warns us that we are under attack from this world and systems, from the enemy, from Satan, from our flesh. Christ has set us free. Ordinarily, the middle of April, April 15th, is the day in which the IRS tells us all of our taxes and tax forms are due. But this year it's not, because April 15th falls on a Sunday. But it's not on April 16th either. It's going to be April 17th. The reason it's not on April 16th is April 16th is the day that goes almost unnoticed among the holidays in our nation, but April 16th is Emancipation Day. It's the day when President Lincoln signed the proclamation that every slave within the borders of the United States of America is now free. The problem was why that was easier said than done, was because many of the slaves in America had grown up in slavery. They'd never known anything but slavery. They had no identity apart from being a slave. They had no clue as to how to be a free man or free woman. Many of them had lived most of their life, and they were now well up in years, and now they hear this news that they're no longer a slave, but they're free. They don't even know how to be free. What does that mean? What do I do next? And the tragic thing is that because of the deadening, damaging effects of slavery on a human soul, that there were many who still retained kind of that spirit of slavery, even in spite of the fact that they're now free. That same thing can happen to us as believers in Jesus Christ. We can continue to struggle with things that we ought to be free from. And the list is endless of the things that will keep us in bondage. We can be in bondage to bitterness, something that happened years ago. But we keep dredging that thing up, and there's a bitterness in our soul, and we're in bondage to that. We can be in bondage to fear or anxiety. We can be in bondage to some failure of our own doing, and that it brings about this sense of self-loathing, and we just can't forgive ourselves, and we keep rewinding that tape and playing it over and over again in our mind, and we become in bondage to that thing. Or, of course, we can become in bondage to all kinds of sinful habits that take a hold of us, and addictions, and things that are still there. We can be in bondage to money. Doesn't matter we have a lot of money or no money. We can still be in bondage to money. We can be in bondage to a religion of works. Always trying to do enough to somehow earn God's favor. We can get in bondage to that. Listen, according to the Word of God, you're not a slave. But you must surrender yourself to King Jesus. We've been talking about Jesus King. We've been singing about it this morning. All hail King Jesus. He's the King of heaven and earth, we were singing. How is it possible for us to sing, yes, Lord Jesus, you're the King. You're the King over heaven and all earth, but you're just the same areas of my life where you're not King. Some stuff I'm not ready to let loose of yet that has a hold of me. The secret to freedom is in surrender. The secret to freedom is in surrender. There is an old hymn that we no longer sing, but it's in our hymnals. And the first verse goes like this. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I sink in life's alarms when by myself I stand. Imprison me within your arms, and strong will be my hand. That's a hymn we need to rediscover. Make me a captive, Lord. That's a path to freedom. Slavery to Christ is freedom. Bow with me in prayer. Father, I pray this morning that there are those who are here who are whose areas of bondage in their life, and they just need to be free. Need to be free. Father, I pray that this morning we will discover as never before that freedom comes when we just surrender. We lay down our sword at the feet of Jesus. So Lord, this morning I just invite you to work among us, work within us. Lord, we know that the answer is not trying harder. We've done that. We've tried and we've tried and we've tried, and the bondage is still sometimes there. It's not until we just say, Lord Jesus, I am your slave. I will serve you. I will obey you. I will follow you. And Lord, there's such joy in that. There's such peace in that. There's such release in that. You are the one who came to set the captive free. You're the one who came to announce that the year of Jubilee has arrived. Lord, all that we've been celebrating these last weeks of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is in order that we might walk in the freedom that has been won by that victory. And so, Father, I pray that will be the reality of our hearts this morning. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.